Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. My name is Chopper Pete Quinnell and I am joined by El Fakeador, Laurie Blake.
Hey mate.
Hey, how's it going?
Very well, thank you. How are
you? Good, I'm good. Did you know I went to the gym today?
Did you go? Chopper went to the gym? Whoa! Chopper's been to the gym twice in our WrestleTalk company-wide Get Better policy.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, howdy, do we know about it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I will tell you guys, it's an important day.
Yeah.
Because for the rest of you guys, you know, Simon has many, many, many points, like 10 now, because he goes to the driving range, and apparently that counts as 3.
You got 3 for the driving range, and then you played golf, so then we just rounded that 3 up to 10.
Of course. That makes perfect sense.
We don't have a very good grasp of what sport does for you, so
no,
we've assumed that golf is the hardest of the sports.
And then Datsun plays sports sometimes.
Yeah, but he gets less points. Because
he does get less points.
He's already winning Wrestle League. He doesn't need to win this too.
He's also very competitive, so he's got a couple extra from going to the gym. I don't know what he does at the gym,
until I see a muscle on that boy. He doesn't get any points.
And then you obviously go quite a lot, and you go 3 times a week to your climbing gym as well. Ollie's very competitive and loves working out and stuff. Luke isn't here.
No.
So he doesn't. He's not got any points. But then there's just me. Yeah.
Luke is at the bottom of the table, fortunately.
By default. But then there's me, who doesn't really do anything as outside of going to the gym every so often. So every time I do go, it's a big deal, you know? And today is
one of
those days.
I love the fact you were doing the, I've had a hard time at the gym. Can't bend over anymore.
It was leg day.
That's tomorrow, Chopper.
It was leg day.
It's always leg day.
But it was a good session.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it was nice.
I might go do leg day later.
Okay. You know, at the climbing gym? Just climbing your legs.
Climbing gym tomorrow, yeah. No hands climb. It's surprisingly difficult.
Well, we've got a couple emails on the intro portion here. We've got one that I've saved for the NXT ramble.
Mm-hmm.
It comes in from Abhinav Jha, I believe. Sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name. Starts off by saying, "Hey, Andy." I don't like that. I've been saying this to Ollie on the Raw and SmackDown rambles as well. All the emails I've been getting have been saying hi to Andy on them.
Yeah.
And I don't get why. Like, almost always on, like, Luke's podcast that he does, everyone's like, yada, 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 and not Randy. Definitely not Randy.
He's been begging for it in the super chats, hasn't he?
All of mine have just been saying hi to Andy.
Because
like,
he knows we don't see that because we're sitting over here away from the computer. So we have no idea what's being said in the super chat. He's been spreading.
He has, yeah.
Horrible lies about us.
Absolutely, yeah. But anyway, it says, "Hey, name redacted, Pete, Laurie, Ollie, and Luke." And it says, "I greeted Andy first so that he feels nice." Well, he's not here, and he will never know about this unless he listens to the podcast. He said, "So
sad."
I know. So
he
Luke
works with us every day. Does nothing but listen to us talk. If he listens to the podcast as well.
I mean, that's just a true fan right there.
Yeah, that is, yeah.
He said, "So Luke is on holiday, and I want to share a story when the last time he went on holiday. So when Laurie came and all the El Fakeador stuff was happening, for the first 2 weeks, I literally thought, he is Luke. I was new to WrestleTalk, and I wasn't familiar with all the people, and Luke and Laurie both wore a hat and had a beard, so I thought, maybe this is Luke. So when Ollie started to refer to the different Luke in his videos, I checked back and realized, oh yeah, that's not Luke. So, Laurie, well done. You made at least one guy believe you were Luke.
That is exactly how we wanted the plan to work as well. I've got a hat.
Got a hat,
I'm pretty
got
sure
a beard.
That was the entire premise of the plan.
Yeah. Got a hat, got a beard. You're basically the same person.
I mean, what plan?
And it says, love you guys. Regards. Not Andy's number one fan, nor Pete's, but Laurie's number one fan.
Yes!
Abhinav. And then a pronunciation of the name that says Abhinav. I got it right. Hell yeah.
Thank you very much.
You fooled someone, yes. which is great.
Why do I get the stupid fan? That's what I want to know. Sorry, Abhinav.
Thanks for believing us, but you suck, is basically what you just said. Yeah. Right, we'll have another one. We've got one from Ashley Winwood. This is a Wrestle Talk Get Better. It says, hello, Pete, Ollie, Laurie, Simon, Blake Ham. I told you about the Blake Ham story, didn't I? With the guy that had an awesome name. We've had like several follow-ups in then, but I won't bore you with the whole story. And belated hello to Luke when he returns. There's a little bit that's being nice to me and saying it's nice hearing my confidence build on WrestleRamble. So thank you. I won't read the whole thing, but thank you very much for that. And it says, hearing everybody's WrestleTalk Get Betters have really been the boost I've needed as of late, so I wanted to share my own. Over the past few years, I've been trying hard to improve my lifestyle, but with no real goal besides losing weight slash looking better. I found myself unmotivated in getting to the gym and improving. It was when my fiancé got into running Spartan races that I found a tangible reason to focus. In the past year, I've run 3 sprints, which consist of a 5K run, that's not a sprint, with 20 obstacles sprinkled throughout the course. While the weight loss has been nice to see, 22 pounds slash 10 kilos in a year and a half, I found that the strength building has really been where I've seen the difference. Walls that I've needed help on, I can now clear on my own. Cargo nets are quicker to climb. I've started to see definition in my arms and legs I never thought possible, and confidence I've never had when it came to my athletic ability. I'm about 2 months away from my next race, and have been slacking in my gym and diet. But hearing about all the great Get Betters and your office gym tallies had me back out and running today when I got home from work.
Nice.
Thank you and the SWAF Nation for giving me the little jolt I needed to get back on track. Attached is a progress picture of my fiancé Charlie and I, as well as some action shots from my last Spartan race. Wishing everyone the best of luck in getting better. Ashley Winwood. P.S. Pro tip, watching 30 to 45 minute wrestling matches on the treadmill slash elliptical makes cardio go by so much faster. It's how I keep up with New Japan on a semi-regular basis.
And because you could rest when they rest as well.
Exactly. When they're doing rest holds, you just start walking.
Yeah.
I'm just going to see if I can find the actual email because I've copied and pasted that email, but I haven't copied and pasted the attachments. I'm going to find the email so I can get you the
the Spartan
here.
Race,
here we go.
To me... sounded very exciting. Oh, let's see this picture first.
Got the pictures. Once it wants to load, which...
Maybe I'll do my stuff.
It looks like it's basically a tough mudder, is what
Right, yeah, because
I was
kind of expecting the obstacles to be more, you know, Spartan-inspired. Like,
yeah.
Kick this guy down a well. So, fight 1,000 Persians. That kind of thing, you know.
So I can't get the full picture, but you can see like the little thumbnail-sized versions of the pictures. See them getting along.
That looks like a heck of a day out.
Yeah. And there is a before and after picture, which you can't see too well, but it does look very good. I've seen it before the podcast started, and there is a lot of progress there, which is fantastic.
That's great.
So very well done, Ashley, and I hope you continue up
glad
the
glad we could,
the progress.
In our piss-poor attempts to go to the gym, we could be some sort of inspiration. In our internal office bickering, we could get you back out and running.
It's just Ollie being competitive at this point.
Well, yeah, currently we're just, at the whims of a petty dictator.
Absolutely,
saying, you only get this many points, and then that's knocked on. And now I'm petty dictating from my position to say Andy can't have full points for playing football and stuff. So this is how dictatorships begin.
See,
this is basically the Soviet Union.
Oh, God. We're living in the dark timeline. But, like, should I get points? I live on the 4th floor, right? If I walk up the stairs, do I get points for that?
Absolutely not.
Simon gets points for going to the driving range. I'm going to have a talk with
Ollie. I don't think Simon should get points for going to the driving range.
I know. I'm just using it on a scale, you know?
Yeah, I know.
I walk an hour and a half every day back and to from the station. I don't get points.
Well, it's your own choice.
That is your own choice. You do choose living Guildford, wherever it is.
Idiot. But that's going to be it for the intro portion of the podcast. We're going to get into the main show now, the NXT review, where we're going to be talking about, was that the hottest opening promo ever? Here's the show. Where we might have had one of the hottest opening promos of all time.
I really love this opening promo. I think it was it maybe not like the hottest opening promo, but incredibly hot crowd. Mm-hmm. Yet more proof that the Undisputed Era are the most over thing in WWE wrestling, I think, maybe of all time. I don't know.
Possibly.
Like, coming up to it. But also, I think just as an example of this promo, and we'll get into the full sort of run through of it in a second. Mm-hmm. This is the blueprint promo that opens every episode of Raw.
Yes.
This is the blueprint promo that opens most episodes of SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how you do it properly.
Yeah.
This is what they hope that is. And
exactly.
It never is, because it's the same five people trotted out every week on Raw and SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
And it leads to a six-man tag match, which this did. But this felt like it had gravitas, and it had like a reason that everyone was there. It wasn't just a procession of people going, I want to be the champion.
Yep.
It was everyone felt like aggrieved or actually storyline-wise invested in having a match.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Today.
And I think you made a great point there, when this is what Raw and SmackDown should be. But the problem with Raw and SmackDown is that they don't have a storyline reason to do it. They're just like, we want a six-man tag match because we want something slightly different from last week, even though it's the same people involved. Whereas this, you never really see a six-man tag on NXT. And obviously this has been bolstered by, this is the first time that Adam Cole has been seen on NXT since he won the NXT Championship. So that already makes the crowd hot. Mm. You know, first time we've seen him as champion, as NXT champion, I should say. And then on top of that, they, during the promo, we'll get into what they actually said in the promo itself, came up with Undisputed Era being super duper cocky.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome. It was top tier Undisputed Era. Looked really cool doing it. Came out, did their full entrance. New t-shirts, yellow with black instead of black with yellow.
Subtle face turn, maybe.
Yeah, possibly. Mm-hmm. And then Adam Cole just gets the mic and just says, told you so. And I was like, oh, you are so bad but so good. Mm-hmm. I love you. And he said that he talked about Undisputed Era being draped in gold in 2019, which is exactly what he promised. And he said, this is the start of us fulfilling that prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't start at the bottom and hope our hard work takes us to the top. No, we start at the top and we take out the biggest guy and we work down. And I was like, that is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, that's so cool. And it's such a nice, like, character beat for him as well, because he can brag about it as well. It was so cool.
It's
and
a good reframing of the recent troubles that the Undisputed Era have, and obviously, like, the issues around NXT in terms of getting pilfered and bookings and injuries and stuff. And this was a great way to sort of go, well, we were kind of hamstrung, take over 25, what we're going to do. It was a great show, but this is a great way to repackage and reframe the past to make it seem really important now.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And then he went on and just said, starting with the NXT Championship, they're going to remake the NXT universe in an undisputed image. And then they played a video of the NXT intro, but it was redone with just Undisputed Era clips. And it was the greatest thing I've ever seen. And I want that to be the actual
they
intro for
the
show.
They played the full thing as
the
well. I love the fact
intro.
It was like the full one.
Yeah. And then it was so great. It showed all of the highlights, its tag team champions and North American championships and all the like the best moments, the highlight reel of Undisputed Era in NXT.
And then it ends
and
on
then
an
it
Adam
came
Cole,
back
baby.
Afterwards with an came back after an Adam Cole baby. Do you have something to say?
Yes, apparently there's a background buzzing. Is anyone's phone on? Mine's
nope.
Not.
Mine's not in the room.
Okay. Well, we're sorry for that. Don't really know why that's happening.
I will.
Might be because the mics are unplugged.
Double check that.
How loud is the buzzing?
Yes. Is it unlistenable?
It's just people just saying it's a background buzzing. I don't know exactly.
I have no idea what that could be, but I hope it's not too bad. So I guess we'll just carry on. Yeah. Yeah. Turn that off. Why not?
Yeah. It might be the mics.
But anyway, we'll carry on and hope it's not too bad. And if it gets too bad, I'm sure Randall will tell us.
Yes.
Straight after they come back, after that video that they play, they're all kind of hugging in the ring and it's like, yeah, lads, etc. And then Kyle O'Reilly has an amazing line where he just goes, oh, it's nothing, guys. Just someone I put together last night. It was like, oh, God.
He gets thank you, Kyle, chant.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Adam Cole takes over and says, that is why we run the place.
Mm-hmm.
We have all the power
and
clearly access to Adobe Premiere Pro.
Of course.
He said, this is a message to the tag team champions and the North American champions. I want you to shine up the titles real nice so they look pretty for Bobby, Cole, and so Bobby Strong and Kyle.
Yeah.
It's really funny.
So good. It's such a great promo.
But then, and then just so the last, very last point in the promo that he starts making, he says, you know, this is the Undisputed's era now. Mm-hmm. We've, you know, no one's going to tell us what to do once we have all the titles. Not William Regal, not Triple H.
Mm-hmm.
Which feels like building towards, to me, like, what would be an amazing storyline, like to have the Undisputed Era fully take over NXT and start to build it in their image, because then you can have a gang of babyfaces or whoever rise up and fight against them for the rights to sort of control NXT. And that could feed into the faction warfare thing we were talking about last week, the Forgotten Sons. I don't necessarily think they're the faction to do that.
Yeah.
But some other conglomerate of babyfaces could be a really good stand, like four guys standing off against the Undisputed Era.
Yeah.
Maybe four fresh guys as well, like, absolutely, as a sort of like build up some of these new talents from the breakout tournament that we're
going to
have.
I mean, I wouldn't even be opposed with them, with Undisputed Era gaining a new member, perhaps a woman, to try and take over the women's division as well. So then they really have control over the entirety of NXT.
Yeah, that'd be
there
really
is
cool.
No section that isn't Undisputed Era branded. You know what I mean? And I think that would be a great way to kind of build them all, build the whole show around this one faction. And I know it's been done before with like NWO and stuff like that, and I wouldn't want them to gain another 20 people or anything like that, but I think if you keep it at 4 or 5, maybe 6 at a push, I think that would be amazing.
Well, and you don't play it out too long. I think that's the thing. It's like
absolutely.
The payoff for this, you shouldn't be like, we're going to do 2 years of Undisputed Era on top, because that's boring and it stifles the whole thing. Like, Shayna Baszler being women's champion has stifled that division, seemingly.
For sure.
Anyway, so Cole says that, and then out comes Velveteen Dream, who interrupts by being overtly sexual again, as always.
He said, Dream.
Because Cole had said nobody will be able to touch them when they have all the titles. Yep. Dream says, I want to touch you.
Let you calm yourself, Dream. We're on a family show.
Yeah, and then so Strong says that Dream doesn't deserve to stand in the presence of the Undisputed Era. Dream says he wants the NXT championship as well as the North American championship. This all prompts Matt Riddle to come out, who is also being overtly sexual. Matt Riddle comes out with so much swagger in this
ridiculous promo,
right? He comes out, he says to Roddy, how hard did I hit you at TakeOver? Because you must be confused. I beat you at TakeOver, Strong, and Bebe, I'll beat you too, bro. Like,
bro.
So, this is, and it's just this amazing moment where, like, Riddle just seems to have a counter for everything they're saying, because they also start having a go of, like, Cole jumps in and starts trying to, like, put him down. And he goes, no, I know. I'm ridiculously good looking. And a stallion.
And
he says this, and he gets this huge cheer, and he's just looking around, and then he just leans over and fist bumps a guy in the crowd. It's such a good moment.
He's amazing. I love Adam Cole's response. He did this during the build to TakeOver 25 with Gargano as well. After Riddle said his stuff, Cole just comes and goes, shut up, Riddle, you moron! It's just such a good line.
But then he does have a really good comeback where he says, like, you know, you're jealous because every championship opportunity you've ever had, you've dropped the ball. I've held every championship in this company. Roddy has had tag team gold. These guys have had gold. Like, we've all been winners. You're a loser. Maybe you should go back to feuding with Attitude, writing reviews of Attitude Era wrestlers online.
That
brings out the Goldberg chant. But it also brings out Tyler Breeze. Tyler Breeze pops out and he says he was in the back listening while he was having a chat with Mr. Regal. And he doesn't care who's undisputed. He doesn't care who's the most good looking. It's him, by the
way. It's definitely him.
And he says that the only thing that annoys him here is the fact that everyone's talking about being the future of NXT and taking credit for building NXT to where it was. And he was the guy who did that.
Which prompted the crowd to start chanting OG at him, which I thought was amazing. And he had it's a good point. He wasn't just there for the sake of it. He literally came out and was just like, you guys are talking about like rebuilding NXT and like the Undisputed image, but like, this is my NXT. This is my home. This is the place I built, kind of thing. Which made it made perfect sense, and it just fit in with everything else that had just happened. And yeah, that led to a 6-man tag match, player.
Yeah.
But like, it made sense for everyone to be there, and it made sense for everyone to have a problem with the Undisputed Era.
Yeah.
So it worked perfectly.
But
so
I think
it was
that thing of like, you know, I think normally these promos on the main roster specifically are built around the pops, right? So it's the pop for the music and the pop for someone coming out, and then they sort of just mumble their way through, I want this belt. Blah, blah, blah. This felt like actually
what was happening was quite tightly scripted promo work where things built on top of each other. So, like, Riddle coming out and saying his little piece, like, so Dream coming out and being, like, quite flirtatious with Adam Cole leads to Riddle coming out and saying something else that adds on to that, and then he gets his little fist bump from the ground, which leads on to Tyler Breeze coming out and saying that he's the prettiest. Like, little trickle down of that one little joke idea going the through line through everything that everyone's saying is just stuff you don't really get on the main roster. And the same with the Undisputed Era. They had a counterpoint to everything everyone said. And it's so smart to just have something like that to fall back on, where they can just go, look, well, Dream, yeah, sure, you might be the North American champion, but we're this champion and we're coming for that. Riddle, you've not won anything. Breeze, you went away.
Yeah.
Quite simply, you went to Raw, you failed, you came back, whatever.
Like, exactly, yeah.
You know, it just makes a lot of sense to have all of that feeding into this promo. And then to set up what is a really hot tag team match for later in the show. Like, there was nothing about this that just felt like everyone's just been chucked together. All three of the baby faces,
yeah,
are super hot in this trio. They've all kind of rotated around each other's orbit as well. Like, so there is actual friction between all of them there, but they also all sort of get on. They've all got mutual respect for each other. Mm-hmm. And the Undisputed Era, this amazing over unit.
Yep. Yeah, it was the perfect way to start a show and the perfect way to showcase your new NXT champion and all the people that have a problem with that.
Yeah.
It instantly builds feuds that you can go any direction from in here. Because you could do Cole versus Riddle from here. You could do Cole versus Dream. You could do Cole versus Tyler Breeze. And all three of those were set up instantaneously in one promo at the start of one show. It's great.
The only other thing I would have thought about this match is the only other setup for this match I would have done would have been Dream and the Street Profits versus...
That would have been good,
O'Reilly, Fish, and Strong. Mm. I think O'Reilly still messed up from TakeOver 25,
possibly,
seemingly.
Yeah.
Didn't take his shirt off, didn't really get involved. I think his back's probably still in stitching phases.
Yeah. So it led to Breeze mentioning that he'd spoken to Regal and he'd made the six-man tag match, and it was to be those three of Dream, Riddle, and Breeze versus any three out of the four of the Undisputed Era, which turned out to be not Kyle O'Reilly, but Cole, Strong, and Fish.
Yeah, but this was like a good, like, quarter of the show. Yeah. It was this opening promo, and it didn't lag. It didn't, like, feel like just a filler to set up something that's going to happen in 3 hours' time, because we knew it was going to happen later. And they even had the gall to just do the full Undisputed Era entrance at the beginning and at the end of this show.
And, like, it was great both times.
It's so dumb.
So
and you just don't, normally do that. Like, no, you, that's not really like an like a you don't do two entrances.
Yeah, but they have the power now and they've got control of the show, so I mean, they're going to do their full entrance twice.
They did the title sequence twice as well.
And then on top of that, and on top of all the things that make sense and how good the promos were and people talking and all that stuff, the crowd were really into this as well. It wasn't just like it was some dead segment that fell on deaf ears kind of thing. Like, this, the crowd were popping for all of the important lines. They cheered when Adam Cole did his thing. They cheered when Dream made his remark. They cheered when Riddle did his thing. They went, oh, at the right lines. It worked so well. It riled the crowd up and it got them excited for the main event, which really isn't that the point.
But that's good, yeah. But that's the example of, like, good writing, right? Yeah. That's the great delivery, good writing. That's all you need to get a wrestling crowd invested, because lo and behold, they like wrestling. They're already invested usually.
Yeah.
So
exactly, yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree.
That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Patreon shout out. This is for our $25 and above pledge hammers. So thank you very much. They are only known as hashtag Team LOL. Woo! Yeah! Cheap pops.
Thank you to Robert Spence. Period.
Woo!
Yes! Thank you, Robert B. It says Ryan, doesn't it?
Definitely says Ryan.
Ryan, be bad.
No rolling your ass, Randy.
No rolling for these.
No. Thank you to you, son of a bitch, Tylan Tyrell Reeve.
Woo!
Thank you.
Thank you to shower lurker Jacob Bates.
It's a psycho reference. Yeah.
Psycho
it's
reference.
Weird, yeah.
Thank you, King George Phillips.
No, that's not even a place where you roll your R's.
Thank
Stop
you,
it,
King
but thank
George
you.
Phillips, but
thank you.
Screw you, Randy.
Yeah. The Chronicles of Stefan Riddock. Riddick.
Yeah.
Riddock. Woo, yeah.
The King of Chaos, Thane Krios.
Yeah.
What was that?
Lovely.
I can do what I like.
And Hall of Mania, Patrick Hall.
Stop it. Thank you very much, everyone, for your support on Patreon.
Condolences to everyone who knew and supported Lionheart, the British wrestler who passed away yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Very sad news. So yes, massive condolences to all his friends, family, and everyone involved with ICW and anyone who's ever wrestled with.
Mm, yes, that was very, very tragic news. I apparently have closed the Super Chats from earlier because I'm super smart. So we'll just head straight over to you, and I'll see if I can get them back
fine.
For the next section.
Nate starts us off with asking, where does your neck beard actually end?
Who can say, really? this is an unintentional neck beard, by the way. I just kind of haven't shaved, and it's there. Mm. It's supposed to have been shaved off about 2 weeks ago. But
it only looks more neck beardy because you're next to Laurie, who trims his very fastidiously. Yes, exactly.
Mine's there.
Mm. Here, I guess. And then it's just like...
Yeah, you probably can't see...
You've grown out the full amount.
You probably can't see mine because it's so bushy, but it ends about...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A great big bushy beard. Tim Arndt says, was Matt Riddle attempting a knee bar shot at Goldberg?
Maybe.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, that's quite good, actually. I didn't even pick up
on that.
You
should have done a jackhammer.
Yeah, you should. Just speared someone. Just be like, that's how you do it.
There's every possibility he was, though.
Craig Brown, echoing my earlier thoughts of R.I.P. Lionheart, very much so.
Indeed.
Dan, Mayor of Painesville Dan, says, hello, guys. What is next for the Undisputed Era? Just kidding. Are you ready for Dexter Lumos, bracket Sam Shaw, to dominate the tournament?
Well, hi, Dan. Hey. no, I don't think he will. I have my prediction of who I think is going to take it all for the breakout tournament.
Trevor Lee.
Possibly. Mm. I've got another guy, but we'll see. But no, I don't think it's going to be him. I think he might even lose in the first round.
Mm.
Michael Dominguez says, Pete, maybe you can go back to writing online reviews for wrestlers from the Attitude Era. Andy is the messiah of the keyboard. Thank you very much. Yes, I am.
Messiah of the keyboard. Mm. Might as well join Undisputed Era alongside the messiah of the backbreaker. Mm. They're basically the same thing.
What's the online reviews thing? Well, I'm thinking like I'm missing a joke.
So it was part of this episode. It was a thing that Cole said to Riddle. He was like, you should go back to writing reviews about wrestlers from the Attitude Era because the Goldberg stuff. So I guess they don't like me and they want me to do that? I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, Randy Datsun, he's not the messiah. He's a very naughty boy.
Yes.
And we've only got one more. Possibly the buzzing is putting people off, but I will attempt to fix that in a minute. Jobber JJ says, question for all of you, who is your one favourite wrestler? Mine, I'll start off, is Walter. I just think he's
great show.
Wonderful. Yeah. And just his chops are just
yeah.
When he walks into the ring, I just get excited.
Yeah.
So that's it.
Well,
really.
For a long time, mine was Volta as well. I think it's just because I haven't seen him as much lately. So I think he's not probably my favorite now.
Mm-hmm.
Not because he's not because he's gotten worse, because I haven't seen as much of him lately. I think I might go with Adam Cole, honestly. Yeah. He's just... Everything he does is so good. His promo skills, his wrestling ability, his character, his faction that he's got. Everything's fantastic. And every single time he says Adam Cole, baby, I do it with him. Every single time.
He's fantastic.
Like, I got it.
I'm going to pick the OJMO.
Oh,
who is my favourite wrestler of the minute, who had a fantastic match against Rob Sharp at...
Frontline.
Mm.
He seems
to be a very hot up-and-comer.
He does, yeah, very much so.
And was it amazing match, amazing selling, really good stuff.
It was fantastic, yeah.
But it will change next week, so...
Yeah,
ask me again
all
next week,
the time.
It's fine, I'll pick a new one.
Yeah. The next thing after that opening promo, we got into a video recap of Io Shirai and Shayna Baszler's feud, with Shirai and Baszler due to have a battle next week inside a steel cage for the NXT Women's Championship.
Dun, dun, dun.
This was a really cool video recap. Shocking. WWE makes a good video package, you know. But this was...
Such news.
This was really fun. This video recap was really good.
Yeah.
And it showcased the entire... process of Shirai kind of snapping and what she did at TakeOver 25 with the kendo stick. And it showed kind of the whole arc of Shirai starting out as just being like, I want the NXT championship. Yeah, go me. And then eventually she just got more and more worn down and seeing Kairi Sane get hurt. And then she got more and more worn down and eventually she snapped and now she's gone a bit crazy. And now they're going to be locked inside a steel cage.
Mm.
And like on last week's...
no access to kendo sticks.
Well, that we know of.
They can fit through the bar. You can have hundreds of them. It'd be like a game of Kaplunk.
Got to the point where on last week's show, Shirai did the arm break spot onto Jessamyn Duke, I think it was.
It was Duke, yeah.
So she's getting a bit more violent and ready to go and worked up by Baszler. So I'm very much looking forward to their steel cage match next week.
Yeah, I think it should be a really, really cool, exciting match.
Yeah. Raul Mendoza facing off against the newly re-debuted Damian Priest, who formerly Punishment Martinez. He re-debuts as Damian Priest.
Now looks like a Las Vegas stage magician. They were going for Rockstar, but he does look like Chris Angel.
Chris Angel. Very much Chris Angel vibes. But his entrance looks pretty cool. I can dig it.
Yeah, I like the entrance. I thought it was really cool. Yeah. He said live forever in flames and then it blanks out and then they did lots of like spotlights and silhouettes and all that kind of thing.
And then they did like a little thing where he like mimed shooting an arrow and then it popped up with his name after he did it. It was cool. I liked it.
Stole that idea from The Rock though, didn't he?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. But
it's hard to mime a flamethrower though.
It's gone.
There we go. There was a connection issue.
Well done, Simon. Thanks, housemate Simon. Can always count on you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, walk in front of the camera again. Thank you.
There he goes. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Well done, Simon.
So thanks, Simon. The match itself was actually really fun. Obviously, it was a little bit of a squash match, but it wasn't like a main roster squash match where the match starts, boom, 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 move, done.
Yeah.
Mendoza got in some really cool offense. Mendoza still looked really good coming out of this. Yeah. Lots of evasive maneuvers, lots of counters, him flying around and diving through ropes and spinning kicks and all sorts of stuff like that. He looked really cool.
It's the right way to do it, though, isn't it? It's because you do the you basically do the idea that like one person is so confident in their abilities that they think they can just be lazy and walk over the other person. The other person fires back, surprises them, and that's when they go for the jugular and the finish. Like, you know, Priest starts the match off with his huge boot, lays in loads of strikes, knocks down Mendoza. There's an amazing point in Mendoza's comeback where he's sort of like, Priest tries to get out of the way and walks to the other side of the ring. And Mendoza runs across the top rope, halfway down the ring, leaps off and drop kicks him through the ropes to the outside, then goes for the tope. And that's the point where Priest is like, well... I'm going to have to sort you out,
now
mister.
Now you've crossed the line, son. So he goes for the tope, and Priest just catches him, chokeslams him onto the apron of the ring, gets him back inside, hits a discus roundhouse to him, which looked really cool, to Mendoza. And then he hit his version of the crossroads, essentially, as a rolling cutter for the win. I think both of them look really cool.
Yeah, I don't know if the rolling cut is the best move for him.
No.
Someone of his size, it's like, it doesn't feel right.
No. I feel like...
The discus boot was cool.
Yeah, discus boot was rad. Really like that. But the crossroads, I'm not super sold on. I don't know whether it was just like because it was a bit mistimed that it didn't look right, and maybe against a different opponent or on a different day, it would look a lot better.
But I feel like he could have basically lifted up Mendoza and then done it. Like, yeah, I don't know. There's something about it that just looks it's a bit too DDT-ish for a big guy.
Yeah, a little bit. But maybe you need something like a powerbomb or a choke slammy type thing. That might work better.
It was a very fun squash match, though. I think it was a really good way to put over Priest. I'm assuming they'll put him into a couple more of these and then do a Keith Lee and forget about him, probably.
Yeah, pretty much. Or put him in a feud.
Slightly too many people in NXT at the moment.
Yeah, put him in a feud with Keith Lee.
That'd be great.
And then Keith Lee just gets buried again. Yeah. So, you know,
I think it'd be fun. Or maybe they'll do something in the same way they've been doing with Kushida, which was like put them into a couple of week feud with another established talent have amazing showcase matches. That'd be really fun.
It's a great show.
I much prefer that as a means of putting someone over than having a series of squash matches.
Absolutely, yeah. And then we cut backstage to William Regal, who announces the NXT Breakout Tournament. So we've had news lately of loads of NXT signees having their names changed, which was a big deal for a lot of people in the community. Then we've got the NXT Breakout Tournament, which is basically going to showcase 8 of them in a single elimination tournament, and the winner of the tournament gets a championship match of their choosing.
Women's.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I'll take the women's, please.
I'll have the women's title. Yeah. Thank you very much.
So we had the 8 competitors being Jordan Miles, formerly ACH. We had Boa, Cameron Grimes, who used to be Trevor Lee. Mm-hmm. We had Asaya Swerve Scott, who used to be Shane Strickland. Dexter Lumis, who used to be Sam Shaw. Bronson Reed, who used to be Jonah Rock. Mm-hmm. Angel Garza, or as William Regal said, Angel Garza.
Angel Garza.
Who used to be Umberto Garza.
Angel Garza.
Angel Garza. And then Joaquin Wilde, who used to be DJ Z. And interestingly, when they announced all these guys, they actually had their formerly known as names on the screen as well.
Oh, yeah.
Which was interesting. I thought they'd just be like, oh, this is Cameron Grimes. This is Jordan Miles.
Well, no, because it's a cynical marketing move. We really think that this is the pinnacle of their character work like, you're Cameron Grimes now, Trevor Lee. Like, it's literally to be like, well, later on when we make Cameron Grimes t-shirts and all this stuff and then you eventually leave, we own the rights to all the Cameron Grimes.
Absolutely.
Work. So, yeah, you'd obviously say formerly known as Trevor Lee because who's Cameron Grimes? Who's Jordan Miles?
Yeah. Ah. We also got the initial brackets for the tournament. So we have Lumis versus Reed. So that's Sam Shaw versus Jonah Rock in the first one. We had Shane Strickland or Isaiah Scott versus Cameron Grimes, Trevor Lee. We had Garza versus Wild, so Garza versus DJZ, and that starts next week. That's going to be the first match that they'll do. And then we have Miles versus Boa, so versus Boa in the first round. What do you think of the breakout tournament? Who do you think is going to take it all?
Do you know what? I don't know. I'm going to say Cameron Grimes.
Yeah.
Just because I think Trevor Lee's fantastic.
Mm. He is very,
and
very
he's very good.
Good
at flipping water bottles.
Amazing. I have hopes that Bronson Reed's going to do well. Jonah Rock.
Oh, I really like Jonah Rock as well. He's fantastic.
So I think he might do well, and I think he's going to beat Sam Shaw, a.k.a. Dexter Lumis.
Yeah, I think ACH might go far as well.
ACH should do very well. I mean, all of them are really good, honestly.
Yeah.
I haven't seen all of them wrestle, but I've heard very good things about the people that I haven't seen. So
it will be interesting to see who they pick to get a title shot immediately and which title they pick for them to go. I feel like the North American title is the one that people would be like to go for, but it would be a bolshy move to be like, okay, well, I won this tournament, I want the NXT championship.
Yeah, I mean, I would be really into that, especially if they did it not at a takeover. If they did, I want it the NXT championship, and then be like, right, next week on NXT, NXT championship match, go for it.
Well, it's a star making opportunity, isn't
Absolutely,
it? Like, it's really like, you know, to hang with Cole in, if Cole is still the champion by that point, but like to hang with Cole in NXT would be something that you just go, okay, well, they're instantly a mainstream, like a main competition player now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, one of the things that a match that's really stuck with me, which is weird, is Finn Balor when he was NXT champion taking on Apollo Crews. And Apollo Crews, it was his last match before he went up to the main roster. But he had a showcase match against Finn Balor as NXT champion. It was an NXT championship match. And Crews came up short, but he looked great in the match. And everyone was like, oh, what an amazing performance by Crews. Yeah. And of course, he wasn't that long in NXT before he got called up to the main roster. So that was his kind of star-making performance before he went off. So that is a kind of thing that I think they should do with the NXT breakout star. Don't necessarily have to have them win.
No,
have to have them win the
not.
Title. But to have him in an exhibition match against someone at the caliber of Adam Cole that could, you know, drag him to a great match if they have to.
Yeah.
I think that would be an instant way to make a star.
Well, it's a win-win scenario, isn't it? Because you don't have to schmoz the finish to protect your champion. You can have your champion look very strong in a win, but you can make the younger guy or the up and comer look like star material by giving them enough of the match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know
exactly. Yeah, it's a very very smart thing
to
do.
Rare, yeah, it's one of those rare situations where nobody loses by having a definite outcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a mini Cruiserweight Classic that they've got going on with just like all of these names that you won't know or like the NXT crowd won't have seen. We're going to showcase all of them at the same time. Have fun, and that you just get to see so many different wrestlers, and you can attach to which ones you like and which ones you don't.
Yeah,
and it's great. I love it. Great idea. Next up, we got a video of Mia Yim's journey to WWE and her background and all of those things with her sit-down interviews thrown in there as well. Thought this was really cool, again.
Yeah.
She said that she's going to protect the women's division from Shayna Baszler. So you see it's obviously going to end up with a Shayna versus Yim feud at some point, which also sort of gives away the fact that Baszler's probably going to retain over Shirai in a steel cage.
No.
It's like,
no.
I don't know. It was just the
I
fact
don't believe,
that...
I believe it when I see it, Chopper.
But it was just like, it's just had it that like, Mia Yim was saying like, oh, Baszler's been, you know, ruling the women's division for ages and yada, 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 and I need to protect the people who can't protect themselves. I'll be the heroine of this whole story and yada, yada, yada. And it's like, well, what if Shayna's not the champion anymore? Then you're kind of directing your attention in the wrong place.
Yeah, maybe wait a week for this promo.
I know, yeah. It felt a bit weird to me. But regardless, it was still a cool video.
Yeah.
Saw her background and the struggle she's had to overcome to even get to WWE and then what she wants to do.
Yeah.
Now she's here.
I think you could have framed this entire thing, though, about... You could have done basically the same promo, but done a bit more of, like, the struggle she had in NXT, starting off, like, she didn't... Like, she's had quite a lot of wins, but then she had the feud with Bianca Belair, and that was very back and forth. And then she got the big win on the TakeOver pre-show, or, like, the NXT that was filmed before TakeOver.
Within
the same room that a TakeOver happened, she got her big win.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have done all of that and then just said, I want the NXT Women's Championship next. And you don't have to frame it so much as, like, I'm specifically coming for Shayna Baszler.
Exactly, yeah.
Thus giving away, you would assume, next week's result.
Yeah, exactly. But regardless, it was still cool. I liked watching it.
I like just promos that are just putting over someone like who we already know of, and like there's plenty of WWE are very good at making promo packages, and there's no point only doing them for takeovers. Like, yeah. It was cool to have the Io Shirai and Shayna Baszler one this week building to next week's match, because I'm sure next week we won't get that promo. We might get the promo in the show, but it makes it feel like a really big event, because then you're not just saving these really awesome packages for your huge pay-per-views.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great. Next up, we had a women's division match, which was Tainara Conchi.
Where's she been?
Versus Xia Li.
Mm-hmm.
Lee.
What a combined height.
Yeah, Lee is very smiley.
Yeah.
Very smiley. She was having the time of her life on her entrance. My goodness.
She kicked your face off, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But she came out and she was slapping her legs and like doing along with her music. Her music, by the way, sounds exactly like the opening of Believer by Imagine Dragons. It is uncanny how quickly they...
That one.
Yeah, but it's just the opening bit with like the claps and the dun 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 dun, dun, dun at the start. It's almost identical. I was like, why does she have Believer as her entrance music? Turns out it wasn't. But anyway, so she's very, very smiley when she comes out, which is great. Tainara Conti is also very smiley. Mm-hmm. The match, I don't know. It was fine. It was fine, what I'd say to the match.
It was sloppy enough that it confused Mauro Ranallo at a couple of points, and he was just sort of like, take
a move.
It was okay. Like, yeah. There were some cool bits of it, and then some of it was a bit sloppy.
Yeah.
And that was fine.
Yeah.
Like, Conti got quite vicious at one point, which was quite cool, and then started laying in these really brutal kicks. But I feel like that's when it sort of started being like, oh, okay, this is quite good now for me, because it moved past the trying to do the really coordinated wrestling maneuvers that require two people to do to just one woman just kicking another woman. And I was like, well, that's believable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
She just kicked her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seemed to me that like both of them were trying to get over their characters too much, if that's a thing. That seems like a really weird statement to make, but I'll clarify. It was like Conti would do a move, and then immediately she'd like either like do a weird smile thing that she does, or like readjust her hair, or like put her hands on her hips, or like something. She, after almost every single move, there's a little sequence where almost after every like punch she throws, she has to do like a character moment straight afterwards. Mm. And it just seemed like, I don't know, it kind of slowed things down a little bit.
It was a bit house showy.
Yeah.
I think it's like that more like where you spend a lot more of the time playing to the crowd, because you get the response and you can really soak up that moment, because you're just performing for a live audience. You're not making a television show in which the people at home aren't doing what the live audience are doing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you get a really big response, like the Undisputed Era get from the live crowd, that does make people at home sit up and take notice. But when you get sort of response from people in the room, it probably sounds big and it's fun and everyone enjoys that. But at home, it doesn't really translate. So you're just sort of going, okay, well, maybe crack on with a match.
Yeah, yeah, just wrestle a little bit would have been nice, but the finish was still really cool. I really like Lee's. I assume it's her finisher. I haven't actually seen it before, so
double spinny
kick thing. So she goes for like a, I think it's a roundhouse, I don't know. I don't know my fighting stuff. She goes for like a roundhouse, Conti ducks it, and then she just rolls straight through with the other leg and hits her with a nails her with a heel straight in the head, which looked great. That was really cool, and Lee picks up the win. It was a match.
Yeah, it was definitely the filler of this episode.
For sure.
Didn't really build anyone didn't feel like it does anything.
No. But
we won't see Lee again for ages.
Yeah.
Conti will go back in the closet.
It was there. It was fine. But then it picked up because we had a Street Profits promo doing their whole on the street thing that they did. You're not a fan.
They sold out, man.
They sold out.
They got a microphone and a proper camera.
Oh.
They sold out. It's not a phone promo anymore.
They've got power because they've got the NXT Tag Team Championships.
Mate,
now. Do you not see?
That's it. This is it.
But
they've sold out.
I found there was one really hilarious moment for me here. And they were just talking, doing the thing, saying, oh, we're the NXT Tag Team Champions now, yada, yada, yada. And said, next week we're going to be facing the Forgotten Sons. Ford was like, what? And then it's like, yeah, we're going to be facing them and yada, yada, yada. Ford's crown that he's wearing just falls off. And he just stops, freezes, and just turns around and looks at it. And Angelo Dawkins, who has the mic, just goes, oh! for ages, just straight down the camera. It was so good. And you could tell it was completely improv because fell off. It was just so perfect.
And then they clearly just decided to do another bit of promo. They just like, we'll have to make up another promo. Look, you're going to have to slowly drive your car while we sit on it.
I still love it. I did
actually really like it. I'm joking that they sold out. But yeah, I preferred it when it was low production values
because
it
true,
felt
yeah.
very much like personal. But this still got across the kind of personality of the guys. Mm-hmm. And I loved when they were like on the car with the crowd outside the venue waiting to go in for the tapings, like mm-hmm. getting in front of them and saying like, you know, if you keep doing what you're doing, we're going to keep doing what we're doing. Mm-hmm. It was a really nice moment for them, I think, and for the Full Sail crowd who've, I think even when NXT weren't pushing the Street Profits to the moon, the Full Sail crowd were always behind them and always very, like,
very true.
You know, always involved in their like finishes and stuff like that as well. Like massively, like always celebrating in the crowd. Mm-hmm. Really, I feel like the Street Profits are kind of one of those homegrown talents where Full Sail really takes ownership of them.
Yeah. They're our guys, is what they were mm-hmm. what they were thinking. Really fun promo, gets across their characters. Sets up Sons versus Profits next week, which is cool. I'm into it. And then we had the main event, which was set up early in the night with the promo that we talked about before. And this was Cole, Strong, and Fish from Undisputed Era taking on Dream, Breeze, and Riddle.
Mm-hmm.
This was like a 10-minute match.
Yeah, I know.
I felt like I watched like 20. There was so much that happened in this match. It was so fast. Starts off really explosive. Riddle and Cole start things off, which is a cool, like, fresh matchup that we don't really see too often. It was nice. Started off with this explosive action. Riddle just so quick. Just darts straight behind him, picks him up, just slams him straight into the floor. I was mm-hmm. like, yes, I'm already into this match. Let's go. Just so many back and forth pieces. Constant tags. Not a rest hold in sight, which was great. We had Undisputed Era distracting to allow Cole to take over. We had Riddle doing his gut wrench suplexes that he does and rolls through and maintains hip control and then just throws him again. It was amazing. Dream had a moment where he slid through. I can't remember whose legs it was, but he slid through someone's legs. He was kind of doing his pose thing on all fours on the floor. And as they ran at him, suddenly he could jump. Like, it was actually from the floor into a dropkick. So, it was unreal
how
quick.
Rapid,
yeah, it was so good. It looked amazing. Then, you had Bobby Fish in with Velveteen Dream. Dream goes for a lion salt while staring at the other members of the Undisputed Era on the apron.
Mm-hmm.
And as he's kind of looking at them, he goes back. And I don't think he realized where he was aiming because he goes knee first into Bobby Fish's face. Oh, it was hard to watch. Whoa, it was really, really harsh landing on that, which Bobby Fish ended up getting a black eye off it, which the commentators played up later in the match when they got confirmation that that had actually happened. Yeah, that was hard. That was a hard, hard landing. But still, it was cool.
It was just a really awesome showcase match of like, these are all the top guys.
Yeah.
Watch them all do crazy stuff to each mm-hmm. other. And it was just, there wasn't really a hot tag in sight. There was a little bit of like the Undisputed Era working someone over. The baby faces just through raw ability, fight back, mm-hmm. take control again.
Yep.
Undisputed Era, bit of distraction, back in again.
Yep.
And that just went back and forth the whole way through until it was the baby faces who let themselves down.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it came to a point in the match where Tyler Breeze was running wild. It was the closest thing they had to a hot tag in the match was for Tyler Breeze at the end here. He was kind of coming in, forearming everyone, hitting drop kicks and all this crazy stuff. And he was going wild. And he manages to get one of them on the outside. And he was about to go off the ropes to go for a dive.
He hits the beauty shot, doesn't he?
He hits the beauty shot
on Fish, I think. Mm. And then as he's pinning Fish, Strong drags him out of the ring.
That's right, yeah.
And Breeze goes straight into trying to do a tope.
Yeah, exactly. And as he's bouncing off the ropes is when Dream tags himself in on Breeze, obviously playing off their tension at TakeOver 25. Mm-hmm. And and then Breeze just kind of be like, what the hell, man? Why'd you tag yourself in? They kind of have a little scuffle back and forth, which allows Strong to come in out of nowhere, hit a running knee onto Breeze, who falls into Dream, knocking mm-hmm. him over as well. So then Strong picks up Dream, hits the little suplex backbreakery thing looks rad, and then pins Dream to win, mm-hmm. which was really cool. So the North American champion just got pinned, which potentially sets up a Strong-Dream title match at some point, which is great.
Pinned by pinned by the Undisputed Era member that wants that belt.
Exactly.
It's great.
Which makes so much sense.
Yeah.
The Undisputed Era get a win straight after Adam Cole won his championship belt, so that's also great. You've got more tension between babyfaces, so they're not all just like, we love each other, we're great. You've still got tension between wrestlers, which is fantastic, feels very more fleshed out. This was great. Loved it.
But it's exactly the sort of thing that opens the door for the Undisputed Era to fulfill their clean sweep prophecy, because you don't want to put the Avengers together now.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
This is the
thing.
You want to give them a reason to put their differences aside and come together, and you want to play off the fact that they have these differences now to keep them from stopping the Undisputed Era basically taking over NXT. And then, once Undisputed Era have taken over NXT and you are in the darkest timeline for the likes of Matt Riddle and that lot, that's when you want to build to everyone coming together and trying to get the belts off them.
Yeah, exactly. Almost like a Nexus storyline where they just got to grab people and just try to stop them in any way they can.
Yeah.
But better, exactly.
Sans Cena.
Yeah. But there's so many little moments in this match that I absolutely loved. It was like little things like Riddle repeatedly was trying to hit German suplexes onto Cole. And Cole just kept countering it, and he was like hitting his hands away and like elbowing him and trying to get out of it. And eventually, Riddle just goes, "Fine, I won't do it." And he just spins back and does a ripcord knee instead. I was like, "That is just so good." It's just little things like that. I was like, "That's such a good, nice spot." Riddle is insanely powerful. Hits a fisherman suplex without Cole jumping. Just kind of lifts.
Yeah.
Just
okay,
straight up. We're going for this move now.
Whether you like it or not, you're coming with me.
Yeah, I literally just started writing notes. I was like, lots of stuff happening, because it was just spot. After this, it was like a supermodel kick, double axe handle to the outside from Dream, and then O'Reilly manages to get up and distract the ref, so Undisputed Era take control again. I was like, I was struggling to keep up to make my notes.
So when I saw there was 14 minutes left of the show, and then they still did full entrances for everyone, I was like, oh, okay, this is just going to be like, I thought this was just going to be like one and done sort of. Oh, this is, I knew the end already. So I was like, maybe this is just going to be really, really quick.
Yeah. Or instead, it
was a 30-minute match in 10 minutes.
In 10 minutes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, this was really, really fun, really fast. Got everyone over. No one looked bad coming out of it.
No.
It was perfect. It was perfect. It was a really great way to establish the new Undisputed Era with their NXT Championship and the power they've got now.
It is the right facet of the Undisputed Era versus everyone else angle to play off. Undisputed Era team for years, very cohesive. Everyone else a bit too egocentric.
And that's all of their characters as well. Well, not so much Matt Riddle, although he did have the line earlier on.
Yeah, exactly.
He's very confident in himself. And then you have Dream, who's obviously very egotistical. Yep. That's basically his entire character. Yep. And Breeze, who's Prince Pretty and is very egotistical, comes down with a phone taking selfies. Obviously very egotistical. And those egos clashed in a match against a very cohesive team. So the cohesive team won.
Yeah.
It just makes sense.
They did very well to make Riddle seem a bit more like ego driven than before in this. Like, you know, they had him start the match he pushes Dream and Breeze out of the thing, goes, I'm beginning this, mate. So get out.
Exactly, yeah. And I love that Cole started the match as well, because it makes him, especially since, you know, he had the match where he didn't have Undisputed Era come down at TakeOver 25, and then he starts the match. It makes him feel less like a cowardly heel now as well, because that was always his character before, was that he didn't really want to fight and he'll sneak his way into various
things and
stuff.
Oh, he's a leader
now, yeah. But now he's like, I've got the NXT Championship, I can do anything. And he believes in himself now. And he's like, you know what, guys? I've got this. I'll start this match. Don't you worry. It's a tiny little moment, but it just builds so much more character.
Well, he's holding the proof that he's brilliant, isn't he?
Like, exactly.
You know, and the same as he said in the opening promo, I told you so. He's
exactly.
I have fulfilled the prophecy now. Mm-hmm. I know.
Yeah.
I'm the chosen one, the messiah of the
Not
NXT,
the backbreaker.
The messiah of the NXT.
The messiah of NXT, yes.
The messiah.
The messiah, yes.
John DiPietro, who is Randy Datsun's number two fan, says, name change, housemate Simon is now Hyman Simon.
Hyman Simon.
Hyman Simon.
Sure.
Housemate Hyman.
He sure is, and he saved everyone earlier.
He did.
By doing something. We don't really know what he did. But
he just, I don't I think he knows,
I think
he knows
he just
what he did.
I think he just pushed the cables in more.
Yeah, it's probably that.
Jobber JJ asks, what would your wrestling name be? This is a question for all three of us. Pete, you go name. First.
The Dot.
The Dot, Pete Quinnell.
I don't know, honestly. Like a nickname? Or like just...
Yeah, like, so use your real name and then come up with a nickname. So I'll be...
Chopper Pete Quinnell. Come on now.
Yeah, Chopper, I would be El Fagot or Laurie Blake. Yeah. If I was playing off Laurie Blake, I'd be Laurie 18-wheeler Blake.
I guess I'm just very Randy, good. Aren't I?
Am I just Randy? Randy Datsun. Yeah, that's actually kind of fitting.
Yeah. Tomo says, hello, fellas. Hope you guys have an amazing day. Hope the SWAF Nation does as well.
Thank you, Tomo.
Very kind, yes.
I hope I have a good day too, although it is 20 to 4, so most of my day is over at this point. But yeah.
It's very hot in here as well.
Sweaty.
Tom Ball says, I have a job interview tomorrow. Wish me luck. And it's at Aldi, I found out.
Good luck with your job interview. Hope it goes great and you smash it out the park.
Told him to name drop me.
No, yeah, don't do that. Just tell them everything they want to.
You'll get fired before you get hired.
I've shopped in Aldi before. They know.
Yeah, of course they do.
Michael Dominguez says, I noticed Laurie wears P&Co.
I do, yeah.
Pete's nickname is Chopper. So do you all ride motorcycles too or what? Going to NXT Live tonight, Riddle versus Cole, baby.
Nice.
I'm Riddle afraid of motorcycles. Cole.
Yeah, I've never ridden a motorcycle in my life. Nor do I plan to.
Pete's feet can't reach the pedals.
So the Chopper name actually came
pedals?
From...
Pedals?
Yeah, because you rest your feet on.
They're not pedals.
What do you call them? Footrests.
Footrests. Mm. Yeah.
Motorbikes.
Bikes.
Motorbike. The Chopper nickname actually came from... it was a nickname we used to have for a guy that I used to work with, just because it didn't suit him either. So that was it, basically. It's because you're so smiley. So there was a point where we were going to call you Killer Pete.
Yes.
But then we decided the Chopper was funnier.
Chopper, yeah. It was literally... When they first told me that I would start doing videos and things here, not full-time, just as a trial run, essentially, to start with, they just said, the plan we had, by the way, is you're going to be called Chopper. And I was like, what? Say what now?
Chopper.
And then Ollie just talked to me on the phone, which is like, yeah, here's the storyline we've got planned out for you coming in. I was like, okay, sure. Yeah, I'll be created by Laurie. Sure, why not? Okay. Fine, yeah.
That wasn't story. I named you Chopper because of the thing, but I did create you. You are mine.
Sorry, yes.
You are my test tube son.
Yes, father. Yes.
Tim Arndt, thank you very much for your generous donation.
Thank you, Tim Arndt. And I know I saw Tim Arndt donated, did a super chat for the predictions video earlier as well. I saw his name, but I closed the super chat.
Make up a question.
Prediction there wasn't a question. I remember that. It was just a
I remember
donation.
He said, what's your favorite finisher in WWE?
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's what she said.
Favorite finisher. Oh, that's a great shot. I was going to say End of Days, but...
Whatever that thing was.
I mean, End of Days
is
also on my list of my favorite finishers.
Mm. End of Days is amazing.
End of Heartache. Yeah. Also a very good finisher.
Very good. Mm. Last Shot's decent. Wouldn't put it in my top, though. It's just a nice one to pop the crowd. So it can do it from basically nowhere.
Mm.
So it's a shocking one you can just do, that's it. So, yeah.
Whatever top three. Mojo Rawley's finisher is.
Running forearm?
The teabag.
Christian Baltimore says, love you guys and screw you, Blake Ham, you piece of crap.
Oh, that's a thing from the podcast.
Yeah, so canon. Yeah, if you listen to the podcast, it's really good.
Yeah, if you listen to basically this entire week and last week's of Rambles, you'll catch up with the story of Blake Ham, which is quite the chronicle. You should catch up with it. It's quite funny.
Tomo says, I am staring into your souls. Mainly yours, Laurie.
Oh, well, you won't be seeing much. Yeah. I haven't got one.
I was going to say, Happenable pointed out that you are ginger.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was staring back into Tomo's soul.
Now, this person changed their name to Randy Datsun.
No,
I can't remember.
No, they didn't roll their R's.
I can't remember
their username.
What their name was before this. It was like Michelle or Michael or Bert. She says, we all love Adam Cole because we love a good old bad boy. Undisputed Era can run wild and dominate NXT till DIY return. Fight for all the gold and NXT supremacy after Undisputed Era defeat all other groups.
Wow. That'd be cool.
Don't know how long you'd be waiting for DIY to return, though. Like,
that might be a while.
It's at least a year.
My prediction is that Gargano loses again at Toronto and then goes up to the main roster anyway, so I don't think there's going to be another DIY.
You think he's going to go up to the main roster? I think they're going to try. I don't know whether he'll succeed, but I think Triple H might try and keep Gargano until Ciampa's back. At the very least, until Ciampa's back.
Maybe they just take him off telly for a while.
Yeah.
Put him on training or something, and then bring him back in just before Ciampa returns.
Mm.
So like you can get the double kind of pop
or
tell Vince he's injured.
Same time.
That's a good
can't do it. He's injured. Send him to Birmingham quick.
He's broken
he's
all
on
of his
vacation.
Legs.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, what a shame. Yeah, no, I'd very much like to see that.
Vince is over his dalliance with stealing NXT guys anyway. Yeah. Now he's like, he doesn't know what to do with the ones he's got.
Exactly.
We've got another chat. I've got two more chats. Firstly, Nick Hill says, nothing but thank you very much, Nick,
thank
for your
you, Nick.
Donation.
Thank you, appreciate
and
it.
Tim Arndt is back in to say, my favourite finisher is when Raw finishes its third hour.
Hey! Shots fired.
Sick
for that.
Sick for that.
Shout out.
So we've got another email here from Tom, who says, hi guys, I just wanted to drop an email with an idea and something funny that happened with your podcast. So I think I told you about this when we were having toilet discussion, when we told the story of Randy Andy having problems with Splashback.
Oh my God.
Mentioned that on the podcast.
I solved it yesterday.
You solved it?
Yeah, I just put a piece of toilet paper down first and there was
Did you learn how to poo, splash. Finally?
Yeah.
After all these years.
I stopped doing a handstand.
Yeah,
yeah, of course.
That guy who kept catching it.
But then we, Ollie and I, progressed to other toilet talk.
Mm.
How we wipe was a conversation, not just scrunch or fold, because personally I'm a folder, whatever.
I'm a folder.
Yeah. But then
I plait it.
But I fold a swan and then I scrunch it into Ollie, my bowl.
Go full origami on it.
Yeah. Sydney Opera House as well.
Yeah, yeah.
It gives you three prongs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm.
The wave motion.
Anyway.
Sorry.
And then Ollie started talking about people who wipe standing up or sitting down.
What?
Right. So
always
that was a whole...
stand.
Don't tell me you're one of them.
I often leave the bathroom to do it and then just throw the dirty
away.
Rags back
Kobe.
In.
Straight back to the toilet.
The wind blows it straight off.
Yeah, yeah, of course, yeah. But then, so we had a conversation about that. And Ollie, right, mentioned that he uses one sheet of toilet paper at a time, like one square off the toilet roll, right?
Mm.
He'll take one, fold it, so it's like a little line, and just wipe with that. And then he'll take another sheet and fold and wipe with that.
But that's when you're in the danger zone.
Yeah.
Like, what if you folded it too small and it doesn't cover your finger entirely?
I know. But he said he hates waste, so he just uses one until he doesn't need it. He uses the minimum amount possible.
But he's just had a poo, and that is waste.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's not thick either, because if for example,
if you didn't want any
the most solid in the world, then it could easily break through and you can end up with a with a tanned finger.
If you really don't want waste,
you've
got to eat your poo.
Just cook it up.
He's got to eat it.
Yeah. But then I said, you're in trouble of, if it's like thin toilet paper,
right,
you're in trouble of, you know, breaking through with your fingers.
And he gets that like special...
He has bamboo toilet paper.
Yeah.
And I was like, of course you have bamboo toilet paper. Ollie, that's the most Ollie thing I've ever heard.
He just has a bamboo plant next to his toilet.
he hates waste except monetarily when
except
buying
monetary
bamboo
waste.
Toilet paper.
Or any kind of
my toilet
supplement.
Paper, my toilet paper is made out of the inside of shark-proof wetsuits.
Rubs ashwagandha.
Nothing will get through. It's made out of mithril.
Anyway, we got an email from Tom. You needed the backstory for this. For this something funny that happened. So he said, I listened to your podcast out loud in my house, and whilst I was cooking breakfast, my girlfriend walked into the kitchen. She reached to get a glass for a drink and heard my phone talking very loudly about wiping standing up. She just said so loudly, "What the hell? What weirdos!" I could barely breathe from laughing.
But we were saying that people who do that
are weird. Yeah, I know. So I don't know.
Yeah, but I think more like we're putting out a podcast in which we, in which at we talk about discuss poos.
The wrestling podcast where we talk about wiping standing up. And I don't know whether that means that Tom's girlfriend was saying that the people who wipe standing up are weirdos or we're weirdos for talking about it.
Hey, we discuss the important topics.
We do. It's pressing.
It's a 50-50 toss-up, isn't it, really?
Yeah, and then there's he's given us an idea, which I'll have to pitch to Luke when he's back. But basically, because he's got a massive backlog of emails, we could do like an extra bonus podcast of just doing emails. But we'll see. But thank you for your email, Tom. Appreciate it. We'll do another one or two. We've got one from Florian Simon here.
Good name.
Who says, "Hey, all of you fine folk at the WrestleTalk office, the office, apart from obvious exceptions, and screw you, Blake Ham."
Yeah, screw you.
Piece of crap. "I've been thinking about the promos by Aleister Black a lot these past days after you talked about it. Because if I'm being honest, I can't with WWE anymore and haven't seen any of them myself. But the way you described it got me thinking. Do you think the latest one," well, that was actually 2 weeks ago now, "with him shouting at how wide open his flipping door is, could lead to a last one where he just states that he's done waiting and says stuff like, 'You're all accountable for what happens next,' and then just goes roughshod on the whole roster, taking out everyone with black masses and all that beautiful, beautiful kicks of his? I'd personally love it because, as kind of a metalhead myself, I feel really drawn towards the guy. But on the other hand, why trust Vince with anything, no matter how simple it may be? Anyways, would like your thoughts on this matter, and thanks for all the great content, yada yada yada."
I think they don't know what they're doing with Aleister Black.
He's in a holding pen.
I also think they don't necessarily know what they're doing Bray Wyatt.
No.
They filmed a load of, like, so he, this week on with Bray Wyatt, he did the 9th of 8 scheduled promotional Firefly Funhouse. So this did fill out the last one finally.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, I don't know whether they have a good enough plan for him going forwards. Like, what will his first feud be? How will he debut? What will he do?
Yep.
Same with Aleister Black. I feel like it seemed like all the backstage stuff was Buddy Murphy.
Yeah.
Including that weird tweet where it was like conspicuously Buddy Murphy alongside all of these people who've been on TV recently. But is that really good enough to have that many promos where he's like, "Who's going to dare to step through? Oh, yeah. Buddy Murphy.
Buddy Murphy."
Even though I think that feud is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
But I think you're probably better off with Aleister Black doing a feud first where he builds up a bit of momentum. And then to build Buddy Murphy, you have Buddy Murphy be the guy who shows up and puts a stop to Aleister Black.
Yeah, exactly. I would really like... I like your idea that you said in, Florian, of just like, he's just like, "Well, no one's going to come fight me." Eventually, he'll just be like, "Fine, I'm going to go find all of my own fight," and he'll just go destroy everyone.
That would be awesome.
I really like that idea. Yeah. But we'll have to see whether it happens
I think it's likely someone walks through the door.
Yeah, probably.
Just as he's about to leave, Shane McMahon comes in. Crying out loud.
It turns out the other side of the door where they're filming the promos is the Firefly Funhouse set.
It's a revolving door, and he ends up back in the room, locked in, and more promos.
That'd be great. We'll end this off with a couple of 80% facts that we've got from Daryl Perry here. He says, "Hello, Pete, Ollie, Blake Ham, After Swafters, El Fakador, Housemate Simon, and definitely not Name Redacted. I have a couple of 80% facts. Shakespearean English was much closer to the modern American Southern accent than the modern-day British accent, which apparently dates back to only the late 18th century."
Prove it.
No, it's the 80% fact. That's the point. We can't prove it.
"How can I compare thee to a summer's day?"
80% fact.
Yeah.
80% fact.
To be or not to be.
Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo?
Well, yeah, that was in Verona, so those were in Italian accents anyway.
It's true.
I don't think they were doing Italian accents in Shakespeare.
And he sent in one more that just says, "Cephalopods are believed by some to be an alien species with evidence pointing to the lack of a fossil record."
Lovecraft definitely thought that, didn't he?
Yeah. I don't know about this. I don't know enough about my history slash nature.
They're just weird, aren't they?
Yeah, they're just strange.
Octopi.
Octopi.
Squidlies.
Yes.
Little squiddly lads.
So yeah, I don't know about either of those. I couldn't tell you whether they're outright lies.
So they wouldn't leave a bunch of an imprint on the ground. I don't know.
Stop fact-checking this, Datsun.
I'm not. Yeah. I'm on Discord.
Get off Discord, you're at work.
Leave a beak imprint, wouldn't they? There's nothing else. There's like nothing else to, like, squids bar a little beak. So.
Yeah,
that'd be
it.
Just a little beak guy.
Yeah, that might be it.
Fossils, but yeah, they're from bones.
They just rot in it.
Don't think about it too
much. Just rot in it. Okay. Anyway, that is going to be it for the NXT Wrestle Ramble this week. Thank you very much for listening. Ollie and I will be back for the weekend ramble on Saturday. And then Ollie and I will be doing the Stomping Grounds review on Monday. But then Luke is back
finally
for Raw and SmackDown. I know. Luke will be back for Raw and SmackDown next week. So hopefully we'll see you guys soon. Love you all. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.